Well, man, with an introduction like that, you can't lose. And just as a disclaimer, I did raise both of my children as Gamecock fans, and then they both decided to go to Clemson. So, you know, I don't know. You do what you can do as a parent, you know, but then you got to set them loose, cut them free. But I am excited about the message this morning. I mean, I'm excited because it's summer. And I don't know about you, but I love summer. Probably because I know when summertime gets here, that means that football is right around the corner. Yes, and I do love me some football. And God, the Lord gracious God Almighty, has blessed me with a wife who loves football as much as I do. And, hey, I don't take that for granted because I see wives that love it more than husbands and husbands that love it more than wives. And I'm thinking, that's heaven on earth. I mean, I'm in the promised land. I'm living it every year during the NFL football season. I am living in the promised land. I'm walking in the garden, me, God, Jesus, and my wife, and the NFL football teams. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And we love it so much, we don't just watch it on TV. We're both in fantasy leagues. So every Sunday, you know, whenever church is over, we go home, we cook a good meal, and then from 1 o'clock to midnight, it's football, baby, NFL. The computers are opened up. I'm following my team. She's following her team. We're following the teams on the TV. We're flipping back and forth, and we're just loving it. And a little bit of napping going on in there, okay, a little bit of napping. But I love it. I get passionate about it, you know, so much so that I had the opportunity to go to a Panthers game 2 years ago. And hey, if I'm going to get to go to an NFL game, you don't go to the NFL game and just like go like, hey, I'm going to go and kind of dress and just wear my jersey. No. I go with jersey, I go with hat, and the face paint, baby. That's what I'm talking about right there. If you can't do that, stay home. Stay home. You ain't no fan, all right? If you're going to be a fan, you got to go all in. I was with my man Jimmy Sanders. He's like, Ed, you going to do that? I said, bro, that's what being a fan is all about, brother. Nobody ever in life is going to see that picture. And then I bring it here and show it to everybody. So there you go. But I can honestly tell you, as passionate as I am about football, I really am. I can honestly say this with my whole heart, that passionate about what we're going to be talking about today. Today starts our summer series. And so just like we did last year that was very successful, this year we're going to be talking about the We Believes of Cathedral. You see them all along the hallways as you're walking through the hallways, and these are kind of the bullet points of our vision and our mission as a church. And so it's important for you guys to understand why we do church, the way we do church, and what is the driving mission and vision behind it. So all summer you're going to get to hear these amazing speakers. We're gifted with so many great speakers that are just going to bring these We Believes alive to you. And my favorite one, the one I am the most passionate about, is the one I'm talking about today. And people usually assume that it is the We Believe in Laughing Loud and Often. Because I love a good laugh. I love the good laugh. I love to have fun. But that is not my favorite. My favorite is the one I'm talking about today, which is We Believe the Church is the Hope of the World. That is my favorite, and I think it's so much my favorite because the church saved my life. Now, what do I mean when I say the church is the hope of the world? Well, the Bible says that for every person who puts their faith in Christ, Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. So when you make the decision to receive Christ, that you're going to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says he comes to live within you. And now what happens in the church is you have all these people who have Christ living in them, which produces this hope that produces an atmosphere that is tangible. That's what happens when you hear people that say, you know, I came for the first time and I realized there was just something different about this place. Or I came for the first time and it felt like home. Well, what they're touching and what they're feeling is all of these believers who have fully bought in to the mission and the vision of the church, and Christ in them is producing this hope. And that is the hope that the world needs. The world needs to see a church that is alive. How many of you love Cathedral when you come to Cathedral? How many of you just love it? I love it. I think it's the greatest church ever. Well, what you have to understand is you love it because it's because of you. It's because of all of you who have put your faith and trust in Christ. It's your hope on the inside of you that produces this tangible atmosphere, because hope is not dependent on your situation or circumstances. Hope is dependent on the promises and the faithfulness of God, and they never change. So regardless of what you're going through, you can have hope. And that is the reason and the purpose for church. And lately, God has just had it on my heart that he wants the church to become even more. I mean, even strong, like even cathedral, to become even more of what he's called it to be. And I think he's doing this around the world, because I started studying, I started realizing, man, a lot of people are hitting this same vein, which almost sounds like a God telling the church to get ready for something. I don't know what it is, but I think that we need to understand the value and the mission and the purpose of the church. And so last week when I was sitting on the front row of service directing for Dave, and he was doing the Father's Day message, he said something that just kind of confirmed it for me. He made this statement, and I mean the light bulbs went off, and it's like God shined a light on it, said, hey, write this down, you're going to need it. And it was a great, great saying, great quote. And he said this, and he was talking about dads and fathers and Father's Day, so obviously the example we set for our children. And he said, if you constantly overrule church for other things, but you never overrule other things for the church, then you're sending a message. And I think that's so true. And I think it happens today more than ever. I think there's just so much competing for the church and the time for the church that it's so easy just to wake up one morning and say, oh, it's a beautiful day, so we're going to go to the beach, or we had a late night last night, or the kids have a ball game this afternoon, and just kind of put the church on the back burner. It just doesn't seem to quite have the value. Now, this isn't any kind of condemnation kind of thing. You guys are doing amazing, because Cathedral, again, it's probably the best church anywhere in the lower like half of the world. So, and that's because we have so many people on board with it. But again, another example from Father's Day, this hit me, it dawned on me when I was thinking about Father's Day and thinking about this message. You know, we had those cars out front out there, and Cruise Chevrolet had given us a good amount of them. And so one day we had to take a bunch of the staff people, because insurance purposes, we had to have staff people drive the cars. So we all show up there to get our cars, and they give me the keys to a Camaro. And I get the keys to the Camaro, I'm thinking, whoa, yeah, muscle car, baby. I can't wait to get in there and crank that up and just hear the rrr, rrr. Well, I got in there and I cranked it up, and what I heard was ring, ring. Because it had a 4-cylinder engine in it. I was like, who puts a 4-cylinder engine in a Camaro, man? So I popped the hood and I look, and sure enough, I mean, there's like this much room between the front of the engine and the grill. Like back in the old days, you could have literally crawled right up in there and sat on the bumper and worked on the engine. Plenty enough room for another 4 cylinders, I promise you that. So the engine thing kind of went out the window, but then I noticed it was a convertible. So I found that button and I hit that button. And man, it was like something straight out of a Transformers movie. The glass just slides down nice and easy, and then the back metal panels that you didn't even know move pick up, and they lift up in the air, and they're just kind of sitting there. And then the top goes up, and it folds down in, and then the metal panels come back up, and they go down seamless, just beautiful, sleek. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I put my sunglasses on, and I look good. My wife told me that. I pulled up. My wife said, you look good in that car. I was like, what's that mean about when I'm driving my car? So, you know. But I love driving in that convertible. I mean, it was like a kid in a candy store. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. So I drive it home, put the top back up, get up the next morning, put the top down, drive it here, park it in the front. And I'm just excited about the fact that the top went down. And I'm just jacked up about the convertible. And then I run into Ben Prilliman. You saw him at the beginning of service. He's our youth pastor. He just got back from Ford with all the teenagers from the church. Well, Ben drove home the Yukon, the big black SUV. And he's out there going on and on about all the features that thing can do. This button, that button, this feature does this, does that. It cooks you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can live out of that SUV. And he's going on and on and on about it. And I'm thinking, I never got past the top being down. You know, and he went home, and his mindset was, I got 24 hours of this thing. I'm going to find out everything it has to do, and I'm going to experience the fullness of that Yukon. And so everybody's talking to me about my car, and I'm like, well, the top goes down. And somebody pulls out the owner's manual, like, Eddie, did you realize this thing's got LED light strips on the inside, and it's got this car show mode, and if you push this button, all this cool car show and LED lighting on the ground and all happens. I said, I didn't get past the top going down. And I think for a lot of people, when it comes to church, they never get past the top going down. You come on Sunday and it's awesome and it's just this incredible experience. You love it. It gives you a good shot in the arm and it carries you through to next Sunday. But there's so much more that God wants, not just for the church, but for you. Because the truth is, when you cross the line and when you accept Christ and you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that's not the end all. That's the very beginning of this incredible journey, because what God has done is he's made this thing called the church. And the church is God's vehicle for you discovering the redemptive purpose for your life. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that every single person comes to this earth created by God with a plan and a purpose. And God set you on this earth. It doesn't matter how you got here. There's no accidents. There's no mistake. If you are alive and living and breathing, you are here because God ordained for you to be here. You're here at this time, for God ordained for you to be here at this time. And he put this purpose in you. And then he wired you and he gifted you to accomplish that purpose in your life. But the problem is, from the moment that you're born, there is an enemy. And that plan is under assault from the moment you take your first breath. And so every pain, every failure, every bit of shame, every bit of rejection, every bit of hurt, everything the enemy uses to hopefully for him destroy God's plan for your life, but at the very least distort it or make it where you never discover it. That is his plan. But God says, I have a greater plan. And the greater plan is I'm going to send my son and he's going to die for the sins of all humanity. And for every single person that puts their faith and their trust in Christ, they'll be given a new heart and they'll be born again spiritually. And their spirit will be connected with my spirit. And then they'll find their place in my church, the vehicle that I've created for them now to become a part of and to take part in, to find their place and to find this purpose I have for their life. And as they journey in the church, they'll begin to find out all this junk that the enemy planned for their life. They'll begin to shed that and get rid of that, and they'll begin to step into the plan that I have for their life. And that is God's design for the church. Now, can you imagine with me a church fully alive with believers that are fully engaged in the promises of God and in the church the way God intended it to be? Now, again, cathedral rocks. Am I right? Cathedral rocks. Now, I would dare say that we're operating on about 25%. I would dare say that just like that Camaro, if I were to pop the hood on Cathedral, there'd be this big gap between the front of what we do have happening and where God says we could be. And in that gap is meant to be every single person in here who has chosen to put their faith and their trust in Christ. Can you imagine if we are all on fire, plugged into the church, plugged into the body, finding that place that God has for us, discovering that plan and that purpose. And can you imagine Cathedral times four? Or five, or six. I mean, people be falling out in the parking lot. They just get out in their car and just face plant right there, salvation. Yeah, so what happened? I don't know, I got out, the presence of God hit me and bam, I'm saved. Glory be to God, you know? I mean, that's what God intends. That's his intention for the church, and I think that's the direction that we're headed in. And we're getting ready to receive our offering. Guest service is gonna come forward for the offering because that's another part of it. Can you imagine what would happen if every single believer in here, every person who calls Cathedral home, was a full 100% on board 10% tither? The possibilities would be limitless. I mean, why do we talk about giving? Why do we talk about tithing? It's not because God needs your money. It's not because the church needs your money. It's because we understand the principle of when God said, look, I am gonna bless you with life. And I am gonna bring things your way. And as these things come your way, and as money comes your way, what is meant to provide for your bills and take care of all that, understand that the top 10% of that is mine. Why? Because I want you to learn to live your life like this. I want you to learn to live your life in a way where you constantly honor and respect me. And when you give your 10%, you are proving to me that you honor and respect me above everything else. And then not only is that for you, but now you're bringing to me what belongs to me, and I'm gonna put it in my church, and now ministry is gonna happen. Limitless ministry, because now everything is there to do anything and everything. The possibilities are unimaginable. And then God says, because you did that, I'm gonna bless your 90%, and your 90% is gonna go way beyond where your 100% would have went if you'd have hung on to it. Why? Because when you hang on to the 100%, God can't bless that, and he can't cover that. And that same enemy that's working against your life, God's plan for your life, he comes right after your finances, and now all of a sudden, you're keeping 100%, but it feels like your boat has got 100 holes in it. And you're trying to figure out, where is my money going? Why does it seem like I never have enough? What in the world is happening? Well, back in the days of Jesus, he compared it to having a garden, and they're just being pests and bugs that just come in and they eat and they devour little ones here and there. Some of them you see, some of them you can't see, but what you can see is the damage that they do. So God says, trust me in this and see if I won't throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you, you won't have room to contain it. And so earlier this week, on Friday actually, I did a Facebook Live video talking about giving. And this is why I did it, because I understand this principle and I know it works 100%, and I believe that every person in here who has put their faith in God, that they believe it too. And I believe there's X amount of people in here that can do the 10% and they are doing it. But I think there's a whole group of people that are just stuck. You know, just like, man, I can't, you know? And maybe you're like me and you grew up not knowing how to manage money. I was not taught how to manage my money. I was not taught about budgeting. What I learned growing up was how easy it was to get a credit card and how easy it was to borrow money. Well, when you go down that road, it doesn't take you very long at all to get into a hole that's very, very hard to get out of. And so what I know is I know, and what I talked about Friday was I know there are people that want to, but they're like, Eddie, I just, you know, I know what you're saying. I know you're saying trust God and he'll do it, but to go from zero to 10, I just can't do it. And so in the video, I talked about what we encourage people a lot of times in growth track, which is, well, at least do this. Pray about it and ask God. Say, okay, God, you know my heart, but I can't make the leap to 10%. I'm not seeing it. And I know it's me. I know it's not you, but I just need you to help me out. You give me a number. Put a number in my mind, and I promise you I will give that. And he's going to give you a number, and it's going to stretch you. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be whatever's left over. It's going to be something that it's going to take faith on your part to give, because God wants you to have to do that so that you have to trust him, because he wants to come through for you in a big way. And so I talked about how you pray about it, you get that number, and then when you get that paycheck, you take that number out. You take it out first before you do anything else. You give it online. You put it in an envelope. You do whatever you have to do. And then when you come on Sunday, you give it. And I promise you, do that. You start right there and show God your heart to get there, and then believe God to get you to the 10%. And I promise you, he'll get you there. So I just want to bless you guys with the awareness that as you give, God blesses that 90%. Don't ever, ever, ever lose track of that. And you stand on those promises of God, and I promise you that 90% will go way further than your 100% ever would have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you guys as you give. Now, I was in the book of Romans. I've been reading the book of Romans for several months now because God is just so cool, because he knew I'd be talking about this. And, you know, we call it the book of Romans, and sometimes as Christians, we say a lot of stuff. We assume people know what we're talking about. So let me just explain book of Romans real quick. You know, in the Bible, you have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and in the New Testament, it starts off with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are basically the written accounts of Jesus' time on earth, what he did, what he said, his teachings, and it's recorded by the disciples. Then after the Gospels, you have the book of Acts, which was also written by one of the disciples, and it chronicles the birth of the New Testament church, what we all are experiencing right now. And then you get into a lot of, we call them books, but there's a lot of letters, of which the first one is Romans, written by a man named Paul, who was an apostle. And so we call it the book of Romans, but it was actually a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. So he's writing to Christians, to believers who are part of the church in Rome. He had completed a huge missionary journey where he went to all these towns and all these places and started all these churches in Rome and Philippi and Ephesus and Corinthians and all these different places. And so this book is full of letters that he wrote to those churches. And so now in Romans, which is his first one, we get to chapter 12, which is where he's starting to talk about what does life look like for us as believers in being a part of a body. And if you were to just start off reading chapter 12, then you would read it like this. You would say, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then you would keep going And that has, you know, that's understandable. You get it. Yeah, I need to live my life as a living sacrifice to God. But I'm real big on trying to make sure I get everything in context. And so the first thing you notice in chapter 12 is that word therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what is there. Yes, everybody, a lot of people have heard that. So, well, in this case, that therefore, what Paul's referring to is the first 11 chapters. Now, again, this is a letter. So in his letter that he didn't write in chapters, we did that. We broke it up into chapters when we put it in the Bible. For him, it was just one continual letter. And so what Paul does writing to this church is he goes all the way back to the beginning. And he starts back in the beginning in creation, and he begins to reveal this incredible, amazing plan that God came up with that nobody can even fathom. Nobody can even go there. Nobody can even imagine how incredible God is. And he starts in chapter 1 with the fact that God's children, through their own choice and act, were disobedient to God and allowed sin to come into the world, and all of humanity fell. And he talks about the fact that even though his own children, they consciously made that decision to do that, that he still had a plan to put things back right. And then you start moving through the chapters and you hear stuff like this man named Abraham, who existed in the Old Testament, who God spoke to him and said, I want you to leave this place and go to a land that I will show you. And that's all the information he gave him. And it says that Abraham believed him and followed him. And God said, that man right there, he is going to be the father of your faith, because he simply believed what I said. I'm going to credit it to him as righteousness. So Abraham becomes the father of our faith. But then the story keeps going, and God chooses these people. They're called Israel, the Jewish people. And he says, I'm going to choose this race of people, and they now are going to show the world my heart and my nature. But because of sin, they didn't. Instead of seeing themselves as chosen to reveal the heart and nature of God, they saw themselves as chosen above everybody else. They put themselves up here and everybody else down here. And so God said, I got to show them that that's not the case. So I'm going to give them the Ten Commandments, the law. So he brings the Ten Commandments and they look at it, and he intended for it to show them, you're missing the mark. But they didn't. They looked at it and said, because we are the keepers of the Ten Commandments and the law, we are chosen and we are above the lowly Gentiles. So again, they didn't understand God's purpose for the law was to show them, you need help. You need a Savior. You need a Messiah. So it continues on. And then we get to Christ coming. And because Christ is talking about a righteousness that comes by faith, the hardness of the Jews, they said, no, it doesn't. It comes by obedience to God's law. And God says, I'm going to shut their hearts off to the truth of who Christ is, so that you, the Gentiles, who have never even tried to take a step towards God, can be opened up to a relationship with God through your faith, by simply putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then that's going to exist for a time, but don't think too highly of yourself, because the time's coming when I'm going to lift that veil and I'm going to make them unblinded, and they're going to see the truth, and now they're going to come into the kingdom too. So Paul builds this case for this plan that God has that is unthinkable to us. And then we get to chapter 11, and I'm going to start reading there. In verse 28, it says, as far as the gospel is concerned, they, talking about Israel, are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his calls are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Do you hear the difference in it now when you start 12? He's saying, look, in light of what God has done, this incredible plan, don't miss it. Don't think so highly of yourself that it's just the end to put your faith in Christ. No, you now are a part of God's plan, this incredible plan for the kingdom of God to come to earth. It happens through you, and it happens as you flip the world upside down. Because you've been living in a world that tells you, you need to do what you want to do and what's best for you, and you need to do what works for you. And Christ said, no, I want you to do what works for others. I want you to do what's best for others. I want you to come into this place and I want you to serve others. And when you do that, you will begin to unlock the mystery of my will for your life. And you will become content and you will become happy and satisfied, and you'll have a joy in your heart that the world can never, ever, ever replace. Because now you will be taking your place in the body, the place I designed for you from the moment you drew your first breath. In your mother's womb, this is the place I created for you. This is the thing I created for you to do. But so many people come to church on Sunday and just put the top down. And you don't get to experience the fullness. And then you wonder sometimes why life is so hard, because you're just praying that you can make it to the next Sunday and get the next shot in the arm. You know, a good indicator of a healthy church is the counseling workload on your pastor. If your pastors have got a heavy counseling workload, that's not good. A, it's not biblical. The biblical role of a pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the way God designed this thing is there's a thing called the church, the body, where everybody gets in, and now you're in a relationship with people that you're doing ministry with, that you're in small group with. You begin to build relationships, and now 90% of the stuff that comes up in your life can be handled within that group and that circle of friends. Do you every now and then hit the big heavy duties and you're like, yeah, I need to go see, you know, if a pastor can help? Absolutely. I'm not saying that pastors shouldn't counsel, but I'm just saying that God meant for you guys to handle that stuff. Because God says every single one of you are a minister of the gospel. Every one of you. When somebody picks up the phone and calls you and says, I need help, can you help me? Don't let your first reaction be, oh gosh, let me call the pastor. No, you step into the fullness of the authority that you have in Jesus Christ, who died for you, who gave all of his authority to you, who gave you wisdom and knowledge and understanding through his Holy Spirit, so that you can be a minister of the gospel. Every single one of you. That's the empowerment and the beauty of the church, the working body of the church. But it takes a conscious effort on your part to step into it. And sometimes that can be kind of scary. So what does that look like? Because we're all in the same church, right? So it's kind of like the cars. All those cars were fancy. They all had the same buttons. But I could get in a car and drive it and never experience anything more than the top going down. And then somebody else get in it and experience the fullness of everything that car had to offer. The church is the same way. Well, I want to introduce you to a couple of people who have done just that and let you hear from them what it was like to have to take that step. So as they come, take a look at this video by Erica Mason, who also has taken that journey.
Hi, my name is Erica Mason, and I've been coming to Cathedral since February. It took me quite a long time to come to church for the first time. As soon as I walked through the doors, I knew this was the place for me. I realized that I wanted to go all in. I decided to go to the first growth track session, and I finished that and knew that I was ready to serve. I am now part of the growth track team, and I feel like everyone that comes needs to experience what I experienced. We don't have any family here, so we were looking to feel that connection. A church family was what we were looking for. If you're needing someone, needing people to get connected with, Cathedral and Growth Track is the way to go. You can come become part of the small groups and start having people that you connect with. and feel like they're your family away from family.
So true, so true. Give these guys a hand. This is Taylor and Rusty. And they have graciously agreed to be up here and tell their story, and they're both a little bit nervous, but that's all right. I promised them I would not change anything, and of course I'm gonna change something, but that's all right. You guys are gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Because both of these guys have taken that journey, and just like Erica, in just the span of 1 year, they've gone from wherever it was they were at a year ago to now fully saying yes and jumping in and becoming a part of the body. And so the first thing I want to do is a little bit different with you, Rusty, is you and I are in a small group together as well. And this past Saturday, I happened to hear from you what your first impression of Cathedral was like, which was really cool because Rusty only came because his daughter just would not quit hounding him. So daughters, sons, if you got a parent, just keep it up. Don't quit. So Rusty, what was it like for you your first time? What were your expectations and then what did you experience?
Well, I didn't really go to church as a child with my family. Every once in a while, it was a Methodist church. Was nothing like this. So I didn't really know what to expect other than what I had experienced as a child. But we came in, saw, I was like, there's drums on stage, there's electric guitars. And, you know, you could just feel the presence of God, the energy in the room. And after it was all said and done, we walked out of here and we were walking back to the car, and I kind of looked at my wife, and I said, what just happened? That's not church. So we fell in love with it, and we've been coming ever since, almost 3 years now.
Wow. Wow. So you started feeling kind of a nagging of there's got to be something more.
Yeah, we would come on Sundays and just feel God's presence, sing the songs, feel great. It was kind of like you were talking about. It's just a reset for the week, but I started having an internal awareness that there's something more to this. It was like I said, growing up, I wasn't in the church, so it was all relatively new to me, but there had to be something more. I could feel it. And it was, you know, looking back now, it was a calling. So
you can feel God calling to you, and you said yes, and you got involved in the growth track, and you completed that.
Absolutely. And, you know, God says, if you think this is good, wait till I see what I've got for you later.
And so, what's everything that you're doing now? So you completed growth track.
Went through growth tracks, went through a small group, got baptized. I'm in the men's Bible study. I'm in the breadbasket ministry and the worship arts ministry.
So you just got finished playing guitar a couple weeks ago for the first time on stage.
Well, last week was my second time.
Last week.
I've done it twice now.
That's a pretty awesome leap from 1 year ago. Yeah. So now Taylor, oh my gosh, I just love Taylor. So Taylor, let's do this a little bit different than we did last service. I want you to go back and, like, next week is a big anniversary for you because it's going to be 4th of July Sunday. So 4th of July Sunday, 1 year ago, help us understand what was going on with you when you walked into the doors.
When I walked into the doors, it was actually going to be the last Sunday of my life. I actually planned to go home afterwards and kind of write an apology letter and kill myself shortly thereafter. So I was in a really dark place, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I was done. I was drained.
And then something happened in that 4th of July message. So a 4th of July message. So you come in, you've got it all planned out. You mm-hmm. know what you're going to do when you get home. And it's not like we're having this, you know, God's got a plan for you. This is the 4th of July message. And what happened?
Actually, they did a segment on how people had gone back and visited this one location. And the more they talked, the more I started listening. I'm like, this place is definitely different. And by the end of it, they actually said, grab the rope. And they handed out pieces of rope. And when they said that, it was like the words that saved my life, because the whole point of it was these soldiers climbed up this rope, and no matter how many times they fell, someone helped them if they just kept grabbing at the rope. And so it really resonated with me.
So you heard God say, just grab the rope, and you did.
Yeah, literally.
That's the piece of rope that she has in her hand. She still has from 1 year ago. And so now 1 year ago, you come in. Yeah, give her a hand. So you come in that state of being, and now 1 year later, what have you done?
I have got medication, counseling, to help manage my conditions because it's ADHD, which gives me depression and all sorts of other issues. But I got counseling, medicine. I reached out to people both in the church and at home and told them, you know, exactly what's going on and how I felt. And, you know, I'm able to say that I still have a beautiful little girl that's being watched over right now by Children's Services. And
yes.
It's good.
And you went through the growth track, completed that, and now you're joining
Worship Arts.
Worship Arts, because you are an artist at heart, aren't you?
Yes, definitely.
You are. Thank you guys so much. Give them a big hand. That's what it looks like when you go home and you pull the owner's manual out and you say, I'm going to find out everything that there is for me to get out of this. And that's what God wants for every one of us. Those guys are now taking their place. And because of Rusty standing up here a couple of weeks ago and a couple of weeks before that playing the guitar, now he is a part of that whole energy and the atmosphere that happens here. He is exactly in a place where God's designed him and positioned him. The same thing when he's helping out with the bread basket. The same thing when he's in his men's Bible study. All these places are places where he's learning and growing. So it's not just happening on Sunday. He's got it happening on Sunday, but he's got it happening during other days of the week and through all of those processes, many of them that require him now, like Paul said, submit yourself as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice means I'm going to give myself up. You know, I've got all these needs, I've got all these wants, I've got all these desires, but I've tried it my way as long as I can. I'm going to try it God's way. And so I'm going to lay all my needs, all my wants and desires down, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to step in, and I'm going to become a member, a part of this body of Christ that God has created, and I'm going to serve others, and I'm going to trust him to do exactly what he said he would do. And I promise you, he will do it. And so for me as a pastor and for Pastor Mike and for everybody that's really involved in the church, when you hear stories like that, like Rusty's and Erica's and Taylor's, you want it so bad for everybody. But like you know that you can want it for people as bad with everything within you, but until they can find the courage to take that step of faith, it's not going to happen. So all we can do is lay it out and say, here's what God says. Here's the plan that he has. Here's the vehicle for you to find God's desired will and purpose for your life. But you have to be an active participant. You have to make that choice. Because what I don't want for you to be are cathedral monitors. What's a cathedral monitor? Well, as I was studying through this message and preparing for it, I love analogies, and I saw one of these commercials, and I said, that's it. That's it right there. So watch these commercials, and then I think you'll know what I'm talking about.
David, you have one of the worst cavities I have ever seen. Okay, have a good day.
Aren't you gonna fix it?
Well, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental monitor. I just tell you when you have a bad cavity.
It's bad. Lunch?
Oh, yes.
On the floor! Everybody down! On the floor!
Hey, do something.
Oh, I'm not a security guard. I'm a security monitor. I only notify people if there's a robbery. There's a robbery.
Yep, it's termites.
Oh, get rid of them.
Oh, no, I'm not an exterminator. I'm a pest monitor. I only let you know when there's a problem. There's a problem. All right, you guys take care. Bye.
And I know, isn't it? It's a great analogy. It's a great analogy because here's the truth. We all know we're moving towards a time when time's going to end and everything's going to happen and unravel. And when that happens, where do you think people are going to look for hope? You're going to look to the church, and that just happens to be you. There's people around you, coworkers, friends, neighbors, they know you go to church, they see you go to church, they probably know you go to cathedral, you probably told them about cathedral. And the last thing I would want to see happen is that the bottom drops out of whatever, hopelessness is just everywhere, and somebody comes to you and they say, man, I know you know, there's a problem, I need you to fix it, you know, help me, tell me what to do, and you're like, oh, I'm just a cathedral monitor. I just let you know if there's a church. There's a church. No, God wants for each and every one of you to be empowered and equipped with the confidence that you can step right in and pray for somebody. Somebody comes at you that's sick, you can step right in and lay hands on them and pray for them and pray for God's healing. Somebody comes to you with a problem or a marital issue or whatever it is, that you have the strength and confidence to know that you might not have all the answers, but you and your friends who are also Christians, that you can pull alongside those people and you can say, you know what? We can journey with you and we can do life with you. And we might not have all the answers, but we can love you through this and we promise to stick with you all the way through. Because there's no difference between me and you. God loves us both and God has a plan for our life. And you might not be there yet. Maybe you're not even ready to believe in God, but I believe in God. And I'm ready to have a relationship with you. And hopefully through that relationship, you'll come to trust and understand that God loves you and cares for you and He has a plan for your life. That's what God wants. You know, everybody's gonna know this too. You ever go to Subway and get a sandwich? When you come out, what do you smell like? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you go in there for 5 minutes, you come out, you smell just like Subway. But does that mean that you can jump behind the counter and run the register or make the sandwiches or you know all the ins and outs, the operations of what happens in a Subway and how to run that shop? No, but you smell just like it. It's the same thing with church. There's so much more. So would you guys stand with me? So I want you guys to leave out of here knowing, hey, one more time, I just want you to remind me, how much do you love Cathedral? Now, one more time, I want it to register with you that the reason you love it is because of all the men and women, many of them sitting right beside you, that have partnered with the church, they've partnered with God, they've found their place here, and they're living out their dream, their God purpose, and they're very much aware that God is leading them and guiding them. And it's that thing that you touch, that you love, that feels alive. That's the thing that when we sing the worship songs, that the people around you are singing as if they were singing to their Father that they truly, truly know and love, because they do know Him as a loving and true Heavenly Father. There is that real relationship. It is real. But now what I'm aware of is there's probably a lot of people in here say, man, Eddie, I hear you're talking about the church and you're talking about you put your faith in Christ and you launch on this journey. It sounded to me like the first thing I need to do is have a relationship with God, and I'm not even there yet, so I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to make it very easy for you. If everybody would just bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want anybody to go out of here without saying, man, I want to get on board with what you're saying, but I haven't even taken the first step yet. So if you're in here and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, if you're in here and you're very much aware that I can sense it, God is real, this place is real, there's something here that I need. Through what Rusty said or what Taylor said, I can identify with that. I've been there. I'm there now, and I need God to help me. So if that's you, we're not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand, and I'm going to make eye contact with you. Nobody else is looking around, and then the whole congregation is going to pray a prayer together. But we want you to have the opportunity to take that step. So if you're here and you've never done that, and you say, I want to start my relationship with God today, would you just lift your hand up where I can see it? Nobody else is looking around. Thank you. Back here to my right in the back. Up in the balcony. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bunch of hands in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right here in the middle section. Thank you. I'm just calling out where you are so that you know I'm seeing you. I want everybody to know that your hand's been seen. Anybody else before we pray? Best decision you ever make in your whole life. Right here, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I know he died on the cross for my sins. And you raised him to life to give me life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what the church is all about. So what do you say we make a commitment to each other? What do you say we make a commitment to bust out the owner's manual, get in there, find out what it has. Go ahead and take that next step. The next step is different for everybody. If you come here on Sundays and you're like, okay, I'm ready to do a little bit more, but you're kind of pushing me too far, too fast, just do one more thing. Maybe consider coming to prayer nights on Saturday nights, every Saturday night from 6 to 7. You don't have to know how to pray. You can just come as people walk around this campus and pray, and you can kind of see and hear how they do it. It's how I learned to pray when I first started coming to Cathedral. And we had a group that would meet on Saturday nights, just like we did last night. There were people all over this campus, in the parking lot, in the children's rooms, down there where the growth track happens, in the Windsor Hill studio. And this room, every single chair in this auditorium had somebody touch it and pray for it, every single one. So come and be a part of that. Or come Tuesday night, the last Tuesday of the month, for Encounter, a night of worship. How good is that? I mean, everybody needs a good, solid hour of worship. So come to that on Tuesday night. But if you're like, Eddie, look, I get it, all right? I'm ready. I'm chomping it in a bit. I want to do what Taylor did. I want to do what Rusty did, what Erica did. I want to find my place. Then you need to start with the growth track. And go to the growth track. It happens every single Sunday at 11 o'clock at the Windsor House Studio, right past the church here on the left. And when you go there, you're going to take 4 Sundays, and you're going to spend the first one, and you're going to find out how to have a truly intimate, life-changing relationship with God. And then in week 2, you're going to find out how to get freedom from all that junk that the enemy brought against you, the whole life that you've been growing up without God. And it happens through the church and your connection to the church. And then in week 3, you're going to discover purpose. You're going to find out exactly how God has wired you, your personalities, your gifts, your abilities, things that He's wired you, your passions, things to accomplish the plans and the purpose that He has for your life. And then you're going to learn how to look out for the enemy, because the enemy never stops trying to get you out of this place. But you're going to get the tools to know how to recognize it and how to combat against that. And then in week 4, you're going to find out how to take all of that and now begin to make a difference. So the growth track will launch you into this thing to where your life will never, ever, ever be the same. So I want to bless you guys as you walk out of the door with the truth and the awareness that you are the church. You are God's plan for hope to a hurting community. So when the whole bottom drops out, as it one day will, all eyes are going to turn to you. They're not going to turn to the pastors on the stage. They're going to turn to the people who call Cathedral home. So I want to bless you with that awareness. And I want to bless you with this awareness too, that every time you see one of those LifeLock commercials, you're going to say to yourself, I'm not going to be a Cathedral monitor. All right, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to be somebody that can make something happen and get something done. Lord bless you guys. Have a great weekend.